So it's Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 to 6. In that day you will say, I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day, you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you.
And we're going to hear God's word preached to us now. And Jim Wolford from Emmanuel Bishop is going to come up and explain to us that part of Isaiah to us. But Jim, shall I pray for you before?
Yes, great, great.
Before you kick off, let's pray together. Father, thank you so much that the Bible, as we've just sung, is the place where we can hear the greatest story ever told. And I pray that as Jim explains this part of your word to us now, please would we know and understand that for ourselves, that there is no greater story than what is found in your word. Please would we enjoy that together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ben, and it's good to be here with you. What a great to sing God's praises together. If you've closed your Bible, do open it up, because we're back into Isaiah chapter 12. We've got the last in our series that we've been doing this new year. And what we do is we join Isaiah looking through his binoculars again. I don't know if you've noticed that Isaiah has some rather crazy binoculars, because when he looks through his binoculars, his binoculars don't actually show him kind of what's in the distance. No, Isaiah's binoculars, he can look into the future. He can see what's going to come up ahead. And in our passage today, as he looks into the future, what he sees is a whole people, or the people of God, the people who know God, praising God. That's what he sees. And you might ask, well, why? Why are they praising God? Well, the reason is there in verse 1. In that day you will say, you, all you who believe in the Lord, will say, I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. Well, I wonder, have you ever been so afraid that your knees have been knocking? I can't. My knees are so knobbly, so when they knock, it's quite a sight. I mean, my knees have knocked quite a lot of times in my life. There was one time, though, that I'll never forget, and it was when I was 10 years old. And the situation was this: I might have been caught climbing on the roof of our school, and I'd been seen. And our head teacher, a man named Mr. Fowler Watt, had summoned me into his study, or I'd been told the next morning, you're going to go and need to see him in his study. And Mr. Fowler Watt was a big man. He was a big man. To my eyes, I was a very small boy at the time. And I can remember him being very, very angry. And rightly so. Yeah, we could have hurt ourselves, me and I think there were a couple of others who were doing it. You know, or we could have even died, which was a point he made very, very clearly to us that day in his study. And I was wearing my shorts. You had to wear shorts every day at my school when it was snowing, whatever. And I could just remember my knees shaking like anything. It was so bad. And the whole thing was very traumatic. You can see I'm still affected by it today. Well, I was in trouble that day, but it was nothing compared to the trouble that God's people were in Isaiah's day. Because they hadn't just done one bad thing. No, they had consistently, throughout their lives, said to God, said to their Lord, the Lord who loved them, they had said, shove off out of our life. shove off. I don't want anything to do with you. And God, well, God was sad. Understandably, he was sad. He was actually angry about this. And God's people in Isaiah's day knew it. And they were sort of living under a cloud, knowing that God was angry with them. But Isaiah, he's got his binoculars. And he's looking through them. He says to his contemporaries, do you know what? There's going to come a day when God isn't angry with us. It's a bit like this. Imagine, just take you back to that traumatic day I had when I was 10 years old. I was caught on the roof, and I was told that break time the next morning I would have to go and see the head teacher. Well, it did make for a terrible night's sleep. It made for, I can remember how horrible that morning was and the build-up to break. But let's imagine now I was marched into into Mr. Fowler Watt's study, and I, right away, he wasn't standing up. He was sitting back on his seat, and he said, have a seat, and he was smiling. And he was speaking softly. And what he said to us was this. Just imagine what he said. Look, yes, when I heard about what you did, I was angry, but I'm not anymore. You're completely forgiven for the wrong things that you, that wrong thing that you have done. Now, if he had said that, I tell you what, I wouldn't just have been relieved. It wouldn't just been, phew, oh, I'm not in trouble. Wow. I wouldn't just have been relieved. I would have been amazed. Absolutely amazed. Mr. Fowler Watt. Mr. Fowler Watt, of all people, the one I was terrified of having to face, who was understandably furious about what I had done, had come to my rescue. He had become my salvation. And looking through his binoculars, Isaiah says, this is exactly what God is going to say on that day. Look down at verse 1 again. Your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. That's what the people will be saying. And then, in fact, verse 2, halfway through, people will be going, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. God is holy, isn't he? We heard about that a few weeks ago. You remember, we're looking at Isaiah 6. Holy in every way. That means he does everything right. And because he does everything right, he can't have anything to do with people who do wrong things all the time. It's not safe if you do wrong things to be in the presence of someone who does everything right. It's not safe at all. But on this day, it will be safe to be a person who does wrong things and be in the presence of someone who only does right things. On that day, we'll be able to say, God is my salvation. And of course, we probably know, we probably guessed it. You know, the time that Isaiah was looking forward to through his binoculars is our day. It's almost, he can see us. He can see us here at Emmanuel Westbury, looking at people. People who are praising God. And the reason why it's true of our day is because we live in the times after God's decisive act of salvation. We live after the times that God came himself in the person of his son to turn away his anger from us. So that we now live in a day where anyone who trusts in him can say, God's anger has turned away from me. Wow, isn't that amazing? God himself is our rescuer, the one who was our judge, the one who stood over us with a frown on his face is now for us. He's not against us. He is our savior. And it's important we understand this, that you see, what we hear is that God's anger has turned away. That means not even the tiniest part of God is angry with us anymore. This is hard for us to hold in our heads. It's a bit like, you know, if you are a younger one here, I'm talking with the younger ones here a little bit now, if you've done something wrong at home, just imagine that is to happen, all right? And maybe your mother or father saw you doing it. And you realize they're actually pretty cross with you about it. You did something probably very dangerous or something horrible. I don't know, something very bad. They're cross. And anyway, whatever, you kind of sit down and you have a good old talk about it. And in the conversation, you realize, oh, I've done the wrong thing. You realize you've done the wrong thing. And you say, oh, I'm sorry. And your parents, they forgive you. Perhaps you're talking to your father. He forgives you. And perhaps you pray together. And then that's it. But afterwards, after that sort of moment has happened, you can still feel a bit, oh, how should I feel now in my father's presence? What should I feel like? Is there something in the air between us anymore? Is everything okay between us? And your father notices that and picks you up in his arms and holds you and says, look, I've forgiven you now. It's all forgotten, all forgiven. And that's how it is with God. Unless we get this, we'll never praise him. God has forgiven us, not part of his anger. All his anger is turned away. So now his only feelings towards us are good feelings of kindness and of love. It's a wonderful position to be in. The Holy God we heard about just a few weeks ago, the one who is really in charge of this whole universe, who is the most important person in this universe, who is the most powerful one, goodness, really the most dangerous one in this universe, will never, ever be against us if we trust in his Son, the Lord Jesus. He is firmly on our side. He is for us. We are safe. So we do not need to be afraid. Just look at verse 2 again. God is my salvation. Surely God is my salvation. So I will trust and not be afraid. Who is there, you see, to say anything against us now? Who is there, if the one person whose verdict, whose word really matters, says, look, I'm for you, well then there's nothing to be afraid about. Let's back to this fateful day when I was 10 years old. Let's imagine, okay, I did this sort of one naughty thing one evening, and the next day I'd be marched into the head teacher's office, and he said, look, it's okay, I've forgiven you. What a relief, because it would mean if I saw someone at lunchtime and said, hey, Jim, you on the roof last night, weren't you? You know, I'm going to tell on you. I'd be like, that's fine. And then I go and see that sort of person who's telling on me, going telling the maths teacher or something. Do you know what? That boy, he was on the roof last night. I will not be afraid, because the one who's in total charge has said, his anger has turned away from me. I will trust and not be afraid. And Isaiah says the way perhaps to understand this is a bit like this. Verse 3. Now, children, this is a chance to prod if a grown-up is near you, who you know, give them a prod, because you don't want them to fall asleep. They've got to get this. You need to ask them about this later. So just check they've got this. Verse 3. This is if you want to understand what this is like, Isaiah says, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Now, I guess you're thinking, what I've been thinking this week, what does that actually mean? Well, does everyone know what a well is? Okay, a well is like a big hole in the ground where you got at the bottom you got water, and you draw water by putting like a bucket or something down, and you pull out and you can pull water out of a well. And if you have water, particularly so in Isaiah's day, water is a big issue. If you've got water, you're okay. So do you remember back in Acts in Isaiah 7, Ahaz is checking out his water supply. Is it all okay or not? And if his water supply is okay, they're okay. You're safe. You're secure. You can be strong. You're going to survive anything. If you've got a fresh supply of water, everything's okay. And in that day, we're going to have a fresh, constant supply of water. We're going to have to draw from the waters of salvation. Now, by way of illustration, you have to forgive. It is a rather paltry kind of here. But let's imagine this is a mini well of salvation. Okay, it's a mini well of salvation, and it's actually connected here, because there's a big I don't know, something coming up from underneath, and it's lovely. Okay, but because water, we all have it in our taps, don't we? It's like water. Who cares? Not very interesting. Let's put something nice and exciting here. Let's put some innocent smoothie in. You know, do you like innocent smoothie? Innocent smoothie. Yeah. Okay. Let's put this in here. Let's have a well of innocent smoothie.
Now, don't take my word for it. I wonder, could anyone up for trying some innocent, very careful, don't spin anything on this lovely carpet. I've brought all kinds of things to make sure that doesn't happen. Okay, right, so that's good on there. Right, Katie, you up for this? Not really. Okay, anyone up from junior church, up for just drawing some innocent smoothie from this? No, I'm going to have to ask. It's going to be you again. Oh, no, it's not. It's Laura. Yes, great. It's good. It's really good. Come and try some. Come on. What's your name? Ava? Eva. Draw some very carefully. It's spilling on this lovely carpet. Go on. Have a nice. There we go. Yeah. Okay, right. Here, just wipe that like that. This is all yours. Great. Great. Okay. Have a taste. What's it like? It's okay? It's good? You can keep it. You can keep it. So, okay. So, go, Eva, thank you so much. Go and have a sit down. So, we've got some lovely well of innocent smoothie here we're tasting. And the thing is, it doesn't just taste good. No, no. That's about basically like 10 of your 5 a day in that one cup. And it's got quite a lot of sugar in it as well, apparently. But it's healthy. Let's imagine. It's healthy. And, of course, innocent, very fitting, called innocent. You know, if you're innocent before God, there's nothing to fear. You're fine. You're absolutely fine. So, let's imagine, what we've got in Jesus is something far better than a well of innocent smoothie. We've got a well of salvation, which we can draw from every day, anytime we want. And when we drink from this well, when we fill our heart and mind with what God has done for us, with the fact that he's no longer angry with us, that he's now for us in every way, we'll find ourselves praising God. No more grumbling, no more complaining. No. Wow. No more fearfulness. God is on our side. We are at peace with the one person whose say really matters, the one person who has say over our life and our death. And what we're going to do now, we're just going to have a bit of a pause. We're going to sing about this together. The question I want to ask you, though, as we sing this song, we're going to sing the second of the two. So we're going to sing, Thank You for Saving Me, What Can I Say? That the second of the two songs. As we sing it, I want to ask you, are you someone who can say that God is my salvation? God is my salvation. Because one of the things Isaiah's been teaching us over the last few weeks is that, you know, you can't, God's people are not simply a group of people who live in one place or who all are kind of related to each other, all descended from Abraham in that day. God's people, no, are those who trust him personally. Personally trust him. So just coming to church, knowing the songs, knowing the ropes around here, being known by others, that doesn't make you one of God's people. Those who are God's people can say, you are my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. And just a quick word to the children here. As you get older and older, the question you need to answer is not, do my parents trust the Lord, but do you? Can you say, God is my salvation? So let's think about that as we sing this very personal song together. Do you have a seat? Well, I can remember exactly where I was the first time I heard that song we've just sung together. I remember it because I was so taken aback to hear it. I had my, you're probably so old-fashioned now. I wonder if junior churches know what one of these is. One of these is seriously old school. This is a bit like an iPod, but a bit more ancient. Anyway, someone gave me a tape with that song on, and I remember putting it on, and I can remember exactly where I was as I listened. And I was taken aback by it because it seemed so strange to my ears. I wasn't a Christian at the time. I'd never been to a church, actually, where people sung to the Lord in such a personal way as we do in that song we've just sung. And so actually when I went to church, the times I ever went, singing seemed to be something that, you know, I didn't really enjoy very much. It's something I just endured, something we had to do, a bit of a filler, and perhaps before you had a sermon or something else, just something that just you did. And so I, I didn't know what to make of a song like the one we've just sung together, which is as personal as that. Now, a few months later, I came to understand actually some of the things we've just been talking about earlier, and I realized that if I trusted in Christ, I could have confidence that God's anger had turned from me. I had became a Christian. It was a wonderful time in my life. And do you know what happened immediately around that? I mean, very suddenly, I loved to sing. I just suddenly, having hated singing for all, however many years, 18, 19 years of my life, suddenly it was so precious. And I just arrived here at university, and Sunday nights, no question, the best time of my week is we sang to the Lord. And we sang of what God had done for us. And it was wonderfully precious to me because it was a chance for me to express to God my thanks to him, my praise for saving me. Now, the question I want to think about just as we finish here in these final few minutes is how? How do we praise God? And what we see in verse 5, which is really a summary of the whole second half of the passage, is we praise God by doing exactly what we've just done. We can praise God by singing to him. Verse 5, have a look down. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Now, singing is actually a really natural thing to do, isn't it? The world is full of songs. You know, you just turn on Radio 2. Maybe you've got love songs, you know, all throughout the day. Most pop songs, you know, have sort of a love element. It's someone expressing their love for another. It's a natural thing to do. So we who know we've been loved by God and want to respond to him, well, isn't it right that we should sing more than anyone, we who believe that God has done glorious things, verse 5, for he has done glorious things. He has saved us from his anger. So maybe if you are a younger person here today, and you might think, why do we sing at church? It's just so embarrassing. I don't even know the words. We sing because it's important. It's a chance for us to express our thanks to God for what he has done for us. It's not just what we do. It's not just a filler. It's a really important part of our gathering. One of the reasons we gather is to sing to one another and then sing to the Lord. It's a way we drink from the wells of salvation. But what we see in this passage, the really fresh thing we also see in this passage, is that praise is not just it's not just something we do. It's not like something we just praise, sing up to God. It's not simply an upward arrow. We can praise God not just by singing to the Lord, but by speaking to others about him. As we speak to others about the Lord, we are praising him. Just look at verse 5 again. Look how it ends. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. So let's take our well of salvation, our well of joyous, innocent smoothie. And let me ask you, Eva, I think you said you enjoyed it. If I was to say that Mr. Richard Reed, the guy who's on the TV all the time, the guy who made it, is here today, you know, I guess, would you be up for thanking him for making it? Is that good? Yeah. I'm sorry he isn't. I did write a letter for you, though. I won't go down there now. But you could write to thank him and thank him personally. But there's another way you can praise Richard Reed rather than thanking him personally for creating this wonderful creation of Innocent Smoothie. And that is telling others about this great creation. You say, Richard Reed, he's amazing. He's an amazing drinks maker. He's inspired. He's a genius. As you speak to others about him, you're praising him. You're praising him. It's just as much praising God when we speak to others about the great things he's done as when we sing to him directly. And of course, that's a natural thing to do, isn't it? To take good news. If we believe something's good, it's natural to take it out and share it with others. So I do think it's going to be too messy. But let's say we've got lots of cups here. And let's say, Eva, you know, you could say, not just, this is a great tasting smoothie. You could kind of be drawing it and say, come and taste some. You know, you could just be taking it out around the place. And that would be an expression of your high regard for the smoothie. And in the same way, as we take the good news of God's saving work to others, we are praising him. And it's the natural thing to do. And so as we finish this series in Isaiah, it's just wonderful to see this note which this passage ends on. It's a note of going out. And I'm conscious that this week coming up at the University of Bristol and over at URI as well, we've got two events week. Well, guys, what an opportunity to take all that we've been hearing about the Lord over the last few weeks and to praise the Lord publicly as you speak to others. And for all of us as we go out from here, and not just here in Bristol, but as we kind of support and pray for the likes of the Ailings in Japan or the Fosters in Chile or the Clarks in Greece. This is a news that needs to be worldwide and heard all over our planet. Should we pray together? Our Father, we enjoy praising you. We sing to you, the Lord. But we also enjoy speaking of you to others. So help us, Father, fill our hearts with praise for you that we might just so delight in drinking from your well of salvation, in remembering what you've done for us and sort of savoring it, that it might be second nature to us to more and more go out and speak of this great news to others. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.